If you're feeling too comfortable, it's not a good sign. Just get out and feel not comfortable again.
This is the Creative Voyage Podcast, a long-form interview show with the mission to help creative professionals level up. I'm your host, Mario De Picolzuane. I'm a creative professional myself, active in the fields of graphic design, art direction, and creative consulting, working with companies such as Kinfolk, Menu, and Sonos. Through season one of this podcast, I present in-depth interviews with some of the world's most inspiring creative professionals, revealing the stories that shape their lives and careers, plus actionable strategies to help you take your mindset and skills to the next level. I invite you to join me on this journey. This episode is dedicated to photography and to one of my favorite photographers working today.
My name is Jacopo Moschin. I'm an Italian photographer. I'm 30 years old, currently living in New York. I work between the United States and Europe most of my time. Besides being a photographer, I also have a production agency where we produce content for fashion brands and just lifestyle brands in general, where I act more as a creative director slash producer. So I'm also in charge of hiring other photographers and other creatives for different projects.
Jacopo's work has been featured in ID, Vogue, Amica, Financial Times, Elle, and he worked for clients such as Bali, Levi, Dolce & Gabbana, Ann Taylor, Dior, Louis Vuitton, and others. I find his work authentic and poetic, and his images often have a certain depth and an almost classic dimension to them. I've been following Jacopo's work for a while now, and I've also had a pleasure of working with him on one of the editorial projects for kinfolk.com in 2017. So it was an amazing opportunity to connect with him in this context as well. In this episode, we're going to listen to the highlights of the conversation I had with Jacopo in August of 2018. We cover topics such as his work routines, dangers of the comfort zone, main challenges of being a photographer today, understanding who you are and what photography is about, the importance of research, his advice for briefs coming from art directors, and much more. Jacopo has been working professionally for over 9 years, but his interest in the field started much earlier, when he got a small film camera, Pentax MX, from his father, which he still owns and loves today. It's possible that that was one of the determining factors which led him to take a photography course while he was studying at a Catholic university in Milan. At the time, the photography lab was run by William Willington, one of the classic photographers who believed in the heritage approach which came from the likes of Henri Cartier-Bresson, Robert Capa, Sebastião Salgado, and what Jacopo would call a pure approach to photography. Here he reflects about some of the most important things he learned during that time.
You know, sometimes when you're young and you want to experiment so much, you kind of forget about what photography is all about, really. You forget about the essence of it because you're so excited about it that you might focus too much on technique and forget what the essence of photography really is. The fact that somebody's in front of you, the fact that you're almost like you're capturing a moment, which is a true life moment, but you're turning into something that it could also be not a real representation of what is really in front of you. So there were a lot of ethical questions, especially on advertising photography, because that was what my major in where they, you know, the images were real images of people, but then they were manipulated, and then all sorts of layers that came into play in that sense. And I think it's great to have a very grounding, it was great to have a very grounding education in the sense that it really helped us think more about the great photographers' work, like Robert Capa, you know, like war photographers. And then what does it mean to be a photographer that goes in the streets and take photos of like random people in the streets, the way you could approach them, all the questions around it. Like, are you stealing their images? Are you using their images? Is it like to your advantage? Is it to their advantage? And what are the limits? And what are the creative limits of it? And then so many really less technical questions. The technique was not really the focus of the course. It was more about why do you take photos and what are you trying to say? You know, like what's the message behind it? And sometimes it's so easy to just forget these type of topics when you focus too much on technique.
Yeah, and that's often the case in university.
to just like go from project to project without actually knowing why are you doing it.
Yeah.
And then you just finish and you're lost and you're just like, what is this all about?
Yeah.
So this sounds like a really good course that you had.
Yeah. And I think you don't really necessarily have to study photography in order to be a photographer. I mean, you can literally learn by working in the industry, by being an assistant. But I think it's far more important to have an education in like any other like topic, like any other subject, like literature, history, ethics, psychology, and all of that. Like even reading books. I mean, that's I would say for a photographer, it's great advice to read books and stories and learn about storytelling and message and all of that.
For an inexperienced practitioner, it can be a daunting mission to start working professionally in a photography field. It can seem like everything has been done before, and there's an obvious abundance of visual content out there. At the same time, there are more and more people joining the profession. I was curious to hear what advice would Jacopo give to a new talent entering into this creative field.
I think it's very important to think photography in a different way than how I thought about photography 10 years ago, because the industry has changed so much with social media, with, you know, things like Instagram and all of that. And then, like, I realized that a lot of photographers are really struggling to find their identity because almost everything has been done. So it's easy to get lost in the stream of images. And it's easy to look at, like, some photographers are producing so many images per day that it's really easy to get lost. And I think for a young photographer starting out, it may, you know, like the excitement of the first assignments would make them feel bad if they don't get other assignments and bigger assignments over and over. And I think that's not a great way to start, because you will feel like there are months where you might not get assignments, and that will make you feel really bad. So you have to learn and find a balance in your work. Like, you really have to sit down and think about who you want to be in like 5 years or 10 years, and what kind of photographer do you want to be? Do you want to, you know, like be published in the New York Times magazine, or do you want to be like an art photographer that works with like a gallery and does like exhibitions and prints? Or do you want to be a photographer that specifically works in the fashion industry? And sometimes when you're young, it's really hard to know yourself. When I started, I thought I wanted to be specifically a fashion photographer. And then that kind of changed too as I grew up too. So I think it's a work that it's so connected with your personal life and who you are.
Yeah.
That the best advice I would give is to really sit down and think about who you are and who you want to be in a few years. And that will help you decide the people you want to approach, the kind of work you want to do. And everything really starts from a portfolio. And the portfolio is what you show other people and what tells who you are to other people. So if you meet a photo editor, they'll look at your portfolio and they'll have a sense of who you are and what kind of story you want to tell. Yeah. So personal work is so important. I don't believe that unless you want to be one of those really big advertising photographers that work on like car advertisements and stuff like that, I think it's about putting together so much personal work that the people you present the work to, they will realize who you are, and then they'll hire you for that. So I think that's the best advice I would give.
A work of a professional photographer or any creative takes much more than merely doing the activity which is implied by the title. I was interested in hearing what makes Jacopo's workday, both the pleasurable and those less pleasurable parts of it.
Well, there is a bunch of activities that you have to do over and over. And, you know, sometimes it's about spending 3 hours sending emails, answering emails, and, you know, getting the production work done, which could be maybe spending like 30 minutes on thinking like what to rent for the next production, or talking to your assistants and what kind of lighting setup are you going to do for a specific client. And then some days it will be more about looking at images, choosing images and following post-production processes. And some days it will be a lot more about researching. So I love researching. It's something that I never stopped doing since I started. And I think it's one of the most enjoyable part of the entire process, because you get to learn so much, you get to see so many images, you get to save them, and you get to think about what you want to do next.
Yeah.
And I find it's particularly amusing when you're thinking about your personal work, and then you look at some other photographer's work and you're like, wow, this was such a great idea, and then why did I not think about it, and then how can I improve this idea? you know, sometimes it's hard to just like innovate. So I don't think people and photographers, young photographers, should be afraid of sort of copying other photographers' styles in a certain way, because that will lead them to learn and eventually find their own path.
Yeah.
It's just really hard to just innovate from nothing, from scratch, if you're a young photographer, because you might not know about a lot of things. So you still need to learn and grow. So researching is definitely one of the most time consuming activities, because you might spend like 3-4 hours, and it could be, you could just go to a bookshop and learn through books, or you can just go on the internet and just surf the internet. What I love about just surfing online is that there are so many images, and it's so easy to research photographers in general and old works as well. You start from somewhere and you end up in a totally different place. And then in this process, you realize so many things. And then some days, obviously, it's really like the set work. So you wake up early, you go on set, and then you just work until 7, and then you go home and you have a glass of wine, and that's it.
Yeah. So you said that research is probably the most fun part of it.
Yeah.
What's maybe your least favorite part about the whole profession?
I have no doubt about it. For me, It's for sure archiving.
Okay.
And then I'm really bad at doing that. And unfortunately, I think it has something to do with the fact that everything is digitalized nowadays. I think I would have a lot more fun organizing my archive if it was only film, because it's so practical. You have your hands involved. You have boxes and things like that. And I find that more, in a way, more amusing than just scrolling through a bunch of folders and like renaming files. Luckily, I have an assistant who helps me with that, because he knows I'm really, really bad. And I find that part extremely boring. Sometimes it's also updating their portfolio. Updating portfolios for a photographer, it's like a snake changing skin. In a way, you're happy, you're growing, and you're changing images, but you always have so many doubts of what you're putting in and putting out. So you're like, am I, you know, showing new images? Sometimes you don't really have to show new images, but it's like, are these images really representing myself? Yeah. What are people going to think when they see these images? It's a lot of questions, and sometimes it's a struggle to just like update a portfolio. And again, if everything is digitalized, all these files, you know, I wish we could still shoot film and have maybe 40, 50 images per set and be happy with them. And now we have 3,000 sometimes, and you just don't want to go through all of them.
In large part due to disruptive nature of technology, what it means to be a photographer today is rapidly changing. I've asked Jacopo to share what he thinks are the main challenges of being a professional photographer.
There's two questions that are problematic, I think, for photographers nowadays. The first question is the overproduction of images, and the second is the pace of the production of images. Images are produced and they're posted on Instagram same day or the day after. So there is, you kind of lose a lot of control in that process.
Yeah.
And so I think these two topics are really problematic for photographers, because sometimes they feel like they're just producing images without a reason almost. So I think a lot of young photographers are starting to do that. And then after 2 years or 3 years, they're like, they feel a little bit empty. Mm-hmm. Because they don't know what's next, really. They are like, I don't know if this is what I signed for when I decided I wanted to be a photographer.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of like lose yourself in the process. You're just basically creating images, but then you're like, am I happy with these images? Am I not happy? There is no edit. You know, it's just like so much that gets produced.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a bit of a struggle.
Yeah, it's like a photography treadmill.
Yeah, and I think it's not just for young photographers. I mean, it's even for the big names. And some of them who came from a very different world felt a little bit lost about the pace and the environment. Everything is democratic on Instagram in a way. You might have an amazing Peter Lindbergh image from the 90s that, you know, took so long to be shot, not just because of, you know, the technical environment. Maybe there was a supermodel involved and there was like an entire set of people on the beach, and like it was like a 4-day shoot where, you know, you really get to know the people around you. You really get to have a personal relationship with whoever you're taking photos of, whether she's an actress or a musician or whatever. And then that image sits next to an image that has been, you know, shot in 2 seconds. And it's very hard to define the quality of it, you know. So I think everything is very democratic, which is good because it opens up so many opportunities for young people to start and produce images. But at the same time, it raises a question on who is in charge of defining what's important and what's not important, or what's valuable and what's not.
How do you navigate those aspects? Is there a way when you work with clients that you position yourself to get as much control as you can? And is there like a way that you try to do that, maybe through your approach, your proposals?
It's always trying to have a conversation with the client before the job always helps, you know, like having a very clear conversation. I think the more you grow as a photographer, the more clients will hire you because of your vision and your portfolio. Again, it's very essential in that, because they will see something in your portfolio that's like, oh, this is really telling my story. You know, it's very pleasing to me. If you have like a very confusing portfolio, they might just hire you because you know how to take pictures. Yeah. And that's the very big difference over there. It's like, you don't want to get hired just because you know how to take pictures, just because you can shoot a headshot and get the right exposure. If you start that way, then everything becomes really technical and the clients won't really hire you for who you are. So you have to get to the point where you will tell them like, this is who I am, this is how I shoot, and this is what I believe into. And that if that aligns with your brand, then we can tell a story together. And then this is how I think your story should be told and how many images we should produce. And obviously with clients, there's a commercial aspect. So they have to produce a certain number of images, they have to promote their products and all of that. But at the same time, I always find the best partnerships are where the client really respect the photographer. Yeah. And then really listen to the photographer so that the photographer feels like motivated to just give the clients more.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, as a photographer, you just want to, you know, wrap at 5 and go home because you're not as excited about what you're doing. And that doesn't help the photographer, doesn't help the client, doesn't help anybody. You know, so I think it's a matter of education too for the client. Like, they need to be educated from the photographer before the job.
Yeah.
And they need to be told, like, this is what I do and this is why I think this is great. You know, like, that's why the message is so important when you build your portfolio, because that's a story you want to tell to your client as well. You want to tell them, I really believe in no makeup. You know, that's who I am. Like, I don't like makeup. And then you're not going to work with every single client, of course. So you have to be selective of that. But at the same time, the clients you will work with, they will want to book you like 6 times, 7 times. And you will build lasting relationships over very quick and technical exchanges.
There's another crucial element, which is often a source of struggle for professional photographers. And that's making enough money to earn yourself a living. Here, Jacopo shares his thoughts on that.
Definitely, the whole industry has changed so much. And I think for some young photographers, it's hard to navigate because they don't know how to position themselves and how not to be taken advantage of. Obviously, having an agent does help, especially at the beginning, because you don't know the dynamics. But I think sometimes once you learn the dynamics, once you have enough experience, you could also work by yourself without having an agent. You might just want to maybe have a manager or a very good assistant or a very good accountant. But reality is, if you're starting out, sometimes people will take advantage of you just because you don't know how to position yourself. But that's not always bad, because if you're a young photographer, you might not be as good, and then that might be an opportunity for you because you're getting a job. And that job will help you get out of jobs and grow and like learn the dynamics. So if you're a very young photographer and you're starting, and then you're saying, I'm only shooting 4 images because that's what I'm getting paid for, and I want to have 3 years licensing rights or whatever, most of the clients will just run away and they won't hire you. It's a combination of things. You really have to learn the dynamics. You really have to learn how to position yourself, how much is your cost. And you normally get paid like a fee, a daily fee, or you get paid per image. And then there are costs that are associated with image productions, which are rights of usage. And that depends on where your images are going to be. If it's an editorial for a magazine, if it's a commercial work or advertising work, it's more. And then nowadays, I don't think it's essential to have an agent anymore. I think a lot of agencies are actually struggling because it's so easy for clients to just reach out to photographers themselves. They see their work on Instagram and they just send them private. Like, I get DMs all the time from people and clients that want to work with me. So I think if you have a lot of jobs, it's obviously helpful to have a manager that helps you scheduling and like meetings and negotiating and gets the legal stuff out of the way too, because you have to be protected. You want to make sure that you have good contracts in place for the images you produce.
Yeah,
I heard stories of photographers producing images for like $2,000 and then seeing their images on major ads in the world, like on Times Square. And that's shady. We would like to think people wouldn't do that, but it happens. So you have to get protected in that sense.
Yeah.
And obviously a good accountant too does help. Because sometimes when you're a young photographer, you have to take on costs such as post-production, paying your assistants, paying equipment up front.
Yeah.
So having a good cash flow is also important. You want to make sure that you're able to sustain yourself for 2 months until you get paid. Because sometimes clients won't give advances or stuff like that.
Besides working as a photographer, you're also a partner in a production and content agency, November 87. Can you tell me a bit more about that?
It started as a production agency because of how many images are produced today. The idea came from the fact that brands today, they're in need of so many images, and sometimes it's easy to get lost in the stream of it. I really wanted to offer clients the possibility of producing images that are meaningful, that were not just beautiful, but they really sent a message somehow, and they were really aligning with the brand values of the clients.
Mm-hmm.
And I also love the idea, again, this is, I think, because the photographer's role has changed so much, that I like the idea of the photographer being more of an image maker than just a simple photographer.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes on set, we shoot stills, but we shoot, like, we film as well. We produce short videos, we produce longer videos, longest features. You know, sometimes brands would need like a lookbook, but they would also need images for their social media channels. They would need, you know, they could even need like boomerangs or like Instagram images.
Yeah,
so I like the idea of a photographer who's able to be in charge of a lot of these aspects. Some photographers could feel snobbish about Instagram, and they would think looking at a boomerang, looking at images for Instagram is not really that elevating. Could be frustrating for some people. It's really not frustrating to me, because I feel like Instagram is just another medium. Magazines have less importance nowadays, and Instagram gets a lot of eyeballs, and that's where people go for image content. So you kind of have to embrace that if you want to be an image maker in general.
Yeah.
So we can't really avoid that part, I think. And that's why the agency helped me be in charge of more of the image production in general.
Do you have more people with you, or how is it structured?
Yeah, there's another two guys working with me on the company. So it's three people total. Freelancers, of course.
And are you all creators, like photographers and such, or is it more like manager type people?
It's more like manager type, and then everything is project based. And that was part of the idea of really give our clients a customized experience. So we hire other people depending on the project. That's also really fun for me. Again, this goes back to being true to who you are as a photographer. I can't take on projects that are not aligned with me. I'd rather work with like another great talent that does things better than me in that sense, or that's better for that client than myself. And that helps my mental stability too. Because if I work with a client that is really not right for me, I much prefer to hire somebody else that works well for that client.
Yeah.
That makes the client happy. I'm happy to give the job to another talent, help that talent grow. And at the same time, I don't feel frustrated at the end of the day because I've done something that's not me.
Yeah.
So I think it's a win for everybody, really.
Hey, friends. You're listening to the Creative Voyage podcast. We are roughly in the middle of this episode, so it's time for a short break. There's no team behind this show. It's solely produced and edited by me, Mario. I don't have any sponsors, and I have no plans to add any. Nevertheless, I can use all the help I can get growing the show. If you like what you've heard so far, there's three simple things you can do for me and future episodes. Number one, review the show on Apple Podcasts. Number two, tell a friend and share a link on social media. And number three, visit the shop on creative.voyage/shop and support the show by buying bespoke Creative Voyage products. Thanks, everyone. Let's get back to the show. Growth seems to be a crucial factor of long-term career success and personal satisfaction. I wanted to hear how Jacopo manages that part of his career.
I really think that's the hardest part, because it's such a growing process. And the more you learn, the more you realize you were doing it wrong. And the more you learn that, also the more you get inspired. And it's kind of like having a lot of options where you need to decide what options you are, you know, who you are.
Yeah.
And then that's why I do so much research, because it really helps me refocus. Because sometimes I like something, but I realize I just like it for a moment. Or sometimes I like something because it's great, but then even though it's great, and even though I admire it, it's not me. And then I'm like, okay, so this is somebody else's amazing job, but it's really not what I would love to do. So it's kind of a struggle, to be honest, to reposition yourself all the time. And again, I think it's really the more you learn, the more you see, the more you read, it's everything culturally relevant that helps you. Reading books, watching movies, watching series, reading about tech, any kind of topic, even reading news, really. You know, some of the best Steven Meisel's editorial for the Italian Vogue, they were based on news stories. So it's really about keeping yourself aware culturally. It could even be just like surf on Tumblr. I love surfing on a few Tumblr that I always follow, and I get so many inspirations out of that. And then I go back and I'm like, okay, maybe this was not something that that was really me. So maybe I should, you know, work in a different way or try a different medium, different tools, and so on.
Would you say, is that the thing that you're struggling the most? Or is there something else? Do you have any other challenges currently in front of you?
Yeah, I would say that's one of the biggest challenges always. I think I'm doing a decent job on that, but there's always a lot of space to improve. Another challenge that I think is giving me a little bit of stress is the fact that I'm sometimes producing too much. And I like the idea of slowing down in the future and produce less and less and be more selective with the images that I put out there. I think that's not just a personal feeling, but I think a lot of people are feeling this way, but they haven't processed it yet. And again, I think it has to do with the fact that we're seeing so many images. And then Susan Sontag, who's an amazing writer and photography critic, she already said that a few years ago when she said, like, there is so much image production in the world nowadays that no one's going to be able to edit that. And photographers are going to feel like empty because why do we need to shoot more images? We do have enough, you know? Why are we producing more? So my struggle is really slowing down and then do more relevant, meaningful work that can tell a story, that can send a message, and that can lead people to think better about certain topics.
I think it's virtually impossible to grow if we are staying in our comfort zone. In The Icarus Deception, which is one of my favorite books about being a creator today, Seth Godin asks, what do you do when your comfort zone and safety zone are no longer the same? For example, remaining in a job that's no longer challenging might be comfortable, but it's actually not safe because you're falling behind your peers. Here's Jacopo's thoughts about that theme.
It's easy to get stuck in your comfort zone once your career as a photographer takes off a little bit. And that happened to me when, before I moved to the United States, it happened to me because I was in a really good comfort zone where I had an agent who was providing good jobs for me and basically good money jobs. So I was making, you know, I wasn't becoming rich, but I was making a good amount of money and I could sustain myself and I was happy of just being a photographer. But then after a few years, I got to the point where I realized all these jobs that I was doing, they were not making me happy in any way and they were not helping me grow. So, you know, I was maybe financially stable, but I was going nowhere really. So then the big investment for me was getting out of my comfort zone. That really pushes you more and pushes you to discover yourself. I split with my agent and we decided not to work together anymore. I had an open conversation with them and I said, I don't think this is doing any good for me. And it's just bringing in business, but it's business that's not relevant. I definitely think that helped me a lot. So keeping an eye open outside of your comfort zone, I think really helps.
When did you move to the United States and why?
That was 6 years ago. I think it was more of a life decision. It wasn't really like a career move. I got to the point where I was a little bit tired of being in Europe. And, you know, I've been traveling to the U.S. for a long time, but I never tried to live actually in the U.S. I was 25 years old and I thought it was a good time to try it out, see if I liked it and to see if that would help my career as well. And I'm happy I did it because I learned a lot of new things that I might not have learned if I stayed in the same place. Right now, I'm kind of feeling the same way because I got to the point where I'm growing into a comfort zone again. So I'm wondering what's next in my life that makes me go out of that comfort zone again. Sometimes it's good to be in a difficult position and the comfort doesn't really help. It's not easy to let comfort go at the same time because you feel comfortable.
Exactly.
I think it's one of the best advices I could give, but this is not just for photographers. I think it's for everybody. If you're feeling too comfortable, it's not a good sign. Just get out and feel not comfortable again.
I think that's, that's really important. That's where the growth happens. And basically in that process, you feel alive and satisfied.
Usually, I think, know, you'll have a challenge. You'll have a challenge. You have someone to beat, new things to explore. Comfort really doesn't help. it's great to have, but I think in life, it's always about the journey and not the end goal. And I think once you get to the comfort, that's your end goal. So you have to get out of that again and start again the journey and the process. That's where the fun is.
Yeah, it seems like with some other things, you're self-aware of that, but does that come naturally to you? It's your, let's say, a character trait, or did you have to like learn that?
I'm not sure if it's a character trait. I think I had to learn that the hard way. And then once I did it and I realized it was better for me, I realized it was also a good life advice. And it's not easy. It's actually the opposite. It's so easy when you're in the comfort zone to just be like, why would I want to step out again? Why would I want to do something different? It just feels good here at the moment. And I think that's always when I want to push out of it, because I sense that something is wrong in that environment. I think for everybody, just think about yourself. And if you feel like you're in too much of a comfort zone, you're probably secretly not so happy about that. And you're looking for challenges.
Exactly. That zone is comfortable, but you do start feeling that itch, that unease. It's always somewhere at the back of your mind.
Exactly. It might be good to be in a comfort zone for a little bit of time once you get there. Because, everybody needs to rest and everybody deserves to be at peace, sometimes and be like, okay, I'm just going to enjoy this moment. But then it could be as easy as traveling somewhere for 2 weeks by yourself.
Yeah.
I always suggest traveling by yourself sometimes. You see a lot of things and you learn about different cultures, but you really get to learn a lot about yourself as well in the same time.
Even if our career is generally satisfying, that doesn't free us from making mistakes, encountering obstacles, or simply having those hard days. But still, as professionals, we have to execute on our promises. I was curious to hear how Jacopo manages those situations.
When I'm facing big challenges, I try to step back a little sometimes and then think about what am I doing wrong, why this is happening to me, and then push back harder. I think part of my character is sort of like not giving up on difficulties and try to learn and understand why certain things are not working. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, though, you're banging at the wrong door. And I learned that the hard way because I'm a stubborn person and I don't want to give up. I don't see why certain things are not working, but it really is because you're banging at the wrong door. And maybe that's not what you also want to do. Sometimes we get sidetracked by our own ambitions, especially nowadays. I think ambitions of, it could be like fame, or it could be like power positions or respect positions, because we want other people's respect. Yeah. We want other people to know that we're doing good and, our career is doing really well. But sometimes those are not really the values. The real value is stepping back and realizing if what you're doing is making you happy. And then if there is any struggle in your life, whether it's personal or professional, what is causing it and why? And kind of like analyze yourself and realize that you have to, I think this is for everybody, again, you have to do things that make you happy, no matter what. If it's a job, you have to do a profession that's inspiring to you, and then it's not just giving you a paycheck.
Yeah.
So you might love the idea of a glamorous photographer world, you might want to be there, but deep down, you might not be that person that wants to do that. For example, I realized I'm not interested in being like a super fancy, glamorous photographer that goes to all the cool parties or the cool dinners and all of that. I prefer to step back and maybe work in a more introspective way. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when you're too close to certain struggles, when you're too close to problems, you don't really get to focus on them properly. So stepping back, you see them in their entirety and then you're more able to fix them.
Yeah.
If you're having problems traveling for 2 weeks, 3 weeks to a different place, it might help you refocus on why you're having, why you're living these struggles. Mm-hmm. And then again, if it's personal, I think everybody reacts differently. I really think you can find comfort in reading other people's stories, reading books. And I feel like it's always best not to be afraid to ask for help if you need any.
Yeah.
Even sometimes reaching out to people you admire. Sometimes I feel like people are afraid of reaching out to people they admire. But even sending an email to somebody asking for advice and suggestions. Sometimes I get emails from really young photographers or like mm-hmm. students, and they just want a piece of advice. And it's just so easy to give it to them.
At the time of this recording, around 50% of my creative work revolves around art direction. However, I started my career primarily as a graphic designer, and I haven't done almost any proper art direction until I've worked at Kinfolk magazine. So art direction is something I got into and still learning on the job. Since I lack a traditional education on the topic, somewhat selfishly, I've used this chance to ask Jacopo what for him as a photographer constitutes a good brief from an art director.
I like that the art direction is clear, like, you know, we're going for this vibe and they're going for my photography, but they're not setting the shots up for me. I think it's very frustrating for photographers when certain art directors try to tell them how to set up a shot, or, you know, they send them images of like, we would really love an image like this, and they send a specific photo. Mm-hmm. For some photographers, it's helpful. And for some commercial work, it's also helpful because it gives them like a good trace, like a good starting point.
Yeah.
But I always feel like you're kind of like really copying a shot, and you're never going to get at the same level. Normally, good art directors, they don't do this, but sometimes you could get a brief of images that don't really make much sense. Like, I get a brief with the mood board of like really beautiful images from the 90s with like Kate Moss and Christy Turlington, and it's a bunch of different black and white images that don't really make any sense. And then for a photographer, when you receive these kind of briefs, like you look at them and you'd be like, okay, and then you move on because it doesn't really, it's not helping us in any way. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Sometimes it's just like, yeah, these are beautiful, timeless images. Like, you know, they send me these shots from Kate Moss, from Corinne Day, or, you know, Bruce Weber, Peter Lindbergh. And then you look at it and you're like, wow, this is amazing. And, you know, it's beautiful. It's the essence of photography, really. But then you want me to replicate this shot of like Naomi Campbell in a bathtub with a glass of champagne. It's never going to look like that. We can't reproduce that image, you know, like we have to go our own way to produce something amazing. You know, we can't just like put a model in a bathtub with a glass of champagne. She'll just look at you and be like, what am I doing in here? You know?
Yeah.
The thing about photography is you have to create an entire world around it. Like that image, like probably everybody on set was drinking, everybody was having fun, and somebody said like, oh, why don't you go in the bathtub, you know? And then she was drinking champagne and she was in a happy mood, and the whole energy on the set was good for that shot.
Yeah.
And when you try to replicate that, and sometimes I get these briefs, I'm like, guys, I get it, but this is, it's a bit childish. It's not going to look like that. You have to give me something deeper to work with as an art director, I think.
And do you, like, in those cases, say, like, push back or suggest something else, or how do you manage that?
It depends on the client and depends on the art director. Normally, very good art directors don't do this. They know that they need to provide me with guidelines that make sense for me as a photographer.
Yeah.
They might tell me, like, you know, we really want harsh, like, shadows, and we want to work underexposed and kind of be moody. And they can provide me like with 3-4 photographers' reference names, and maybe provide like a movie reference and tell me a little bit more about the story. But I think the job of a good art director is also to hire the right photographers.
Yeah.
Why would they send me a very specific brief when they can just hire somebody else that fits their image? So I think that's also an important part of it. Like, you can't hire like very technical car photographer and pretend that he's going to be like shooting Peter Lindbergh images. It's just not a match. You have to respect photographer's identity.
We've come to the very end of the conversation I had with Jacopo. I aim to wrap up every episode with some form of actionable or inspirational advice from my guests. Here's 3 wonderful closing insights Jacopo shared with me.
First advice I would give is get to know yourself in every possible way, because every creative job requires a deeper understanding of yourself and what you like in life. I think the best cases of creative people, whether it's an architect or a photographer or an artist, a musician, is when they really get to know what's their place in the world and what they stand for. And that's for sure advice number one. Because creative jobs are so connected with who you are and how you express yourself, that the more you learn about yourself as a person, the better will be your outcome at work. And the second one will be, if you're a photographer, do not just look at photography. Go out and experience different creative environments and try different things. And as a photographer, you can get inspired by design. You can get inspired by architecture again, by music, by movies. All creative fields are connected.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, it's kind of like when you're working on a movie, you have moving images, you have photography, you have, you know, storytelling. You have sound, you have visually appealing images, you have locations. So I think you kind of have to approach creative like that. So the more you know about other creative fields, the better you'll be at your job and the better you'll perform in general. Like, if you grow knowledgeable about everything, and you try to always constantly update yourself on different topics, mm-hmm. the more you'll be able to have a good conversation with other creative people who will ultimately enrich your life or your creative career. It's hard to be a good photographer if you only know about photography.
Yeah.
The last advice I would give is probably do not get overly frustrated with failures and mistakes and challenges and people refusing your work, because it's a long journey. And even when you'll be 50 years old and very established, you will still experience refusal. For some people, it's hard to overcome difficulties because they feel overwhelmed or they feel like they're not enough. But that's not really the case. In these fields, you just have to listen. And then sometimes you're just not ready for those things yet. You might feel frustrated. You might feel like, why? Because you think the work is good enough. But it's actually, there is always an opportunity behind that. And then it's a growing opportunity. So I think actually, you should be happy about mistakes and failures, because they will grow you stronger. Like if you start your career and then you have all the doors open and you get to the top without having problems, something is wrong. Something is really, really wrong.
Yeah.
So I think all the problems are really big opportunities for you. And if you get yourself to that mindset where you know that you're not going to give up and you're not going to say yes to failure, that's a good mindset to have. Just don't feel frustrated about it. This door is not opening at the moment. I'm just going to go right and try this other door. And if not, I'm going to move back and try something different. It's really about not getting frustrated. It's okay to be wrong. It's okay to do mistakes. And actually, that's the best way to learn. That's the best way to grow.
For everybody at home keeping score, I believe we touched on a lot of useful information for anybody out there interested in photography, art direction, and developing as creative professionals. I want to thank Jacopo for coming onto the show. He's an inspiring creative, and I've learned a lot just by talking with him for less than 2 hours. Links to Jacopo's work, his Instagram, as well as to some other things mentioned during our conversation can be found in the show notes at creative.voyage/podcast. You can follow at creative.voyage on Instagram, and you can also email me directly on hello@creative.voyage. If you haven't already, be sure to subscribe, and until next time, my friends, take care.